Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live today from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. And you can find all of the KPCG radio shows at kpcg.fm. Members of the Philadelphia Church of God are just coming off of an outstanding Passover observance, as well as the first day of unleavened bread, a high holy day, Sabbath, yesterday. We're all really encouraged coming off of that. And hopefully, even as this world is more discouraged than ever, we can analyze one of the problems in this world today and then take a positive view, get God's perspective on the issue. Surely by now you have noticed a lot of changes taking place in your life. Changes that have been enforced on you, changes that you would have never chosen to make on your own because of government response to the coronavirus. And a big justification for government lockdown, government shutdowns, pretty much extreme police state-like surveillance, is that we're trying to protect the elderly. That sounds like a worthy objective. And yet, if you just dig for a couple of minutes, it's pretty easy to expose the hypocrisy here. It's actually not about protecting the elderly at all. The elderly have not been given a choice on whether they're able to leave their homes and go about their lives as usual. They haven't been given the choice to tell family members and friends not to visit them for a short time until this virus passes. It's been about the government stepping in and doing that for them. And I heard a story the other day of an elderly person I know being rebuked for going to the store without a mask on. And here, masks are not required. It's not even a law. And yet the elderly are being scorned and looked down upon if they don't comply with a mere recommendation. It's really astounding to hear, especially in the U.S., all of this concern for the elderly pop up seemingly out of nowhere. Where has this been for decades now? If you had to pick one nation in the entire world that is the very worst at respecting elders, you'd probably pick the United States. How can we possibly be saying now that we're shutting down the entire country for their good? The other irony here is that this is a solution devised by government, when in fact, the problem that we have in treating our elderly was also caused by government. There's an article in one of the issues of the 1985 Plain Truth magazine. This is the predecessor to our Philadelphia Trumpet news magazine. And there's an article here titled, "Who Will Care for the Elderly?" And it really does outline this problem well, and it exposes who is at fault. Just listen to this. Governments with the best of intentions created old age retirement programs. Governments also levied taxes for their programs. The state took to itself the responsibility, once exercised by religious institutions, of providing for the elderly. With increased availability of welfare and retirement programs came a lessening need for having children care for elderly parents, the government would provide what was needed. Young people free from their responsibility show declining interest in the well-being of senior citizens. There should be some government program, or if we only had more money for this, is the attitude. The aged increasingly are seen as dependents rather than as individuals. So, the government has caused this problem of neglect for the elderly. This mindset that, well, we don't have to save up for retirement because the government will take money from our paychecks and then give it back to us once we retire. Although that's not going to work either, because we've seen our governments spend so horrendously recklessly that there simply isn't enough money. And it's being talked about more and more that we have to cut those benefits to the elderly who work their entire lives to build up those benefits that should be paid back to them. But when the government says they're going to give that money back to you at the end of your life, naturally there's going to be less incentive for you to save up for your retirement. And then once you haven't saved up, you better hope the government does pay. If they don't, it's a pretty rough situation. It's going to cause a lot of trials for the elderly. Children, of course, are going to run from that responsibility in a lot of cases if they figure that the government will step in anyway. And all you see right now is just a massive separation between generations. And it's all been caused by the government. Now they think they have the solution. Now they think that finally, after all these decades of basically encouraging children to toss their ailing parents into nursing homes, and never talk to them again, never visit, now they think, well, we have the solution. Now we know how to care for these people. We're going to shut down everything. And even if it saves just one life, it'll all be worthwhile. Think about the elderly people you know. I personally know hundreds of them. And I can't imagine even one of them thinking, if this lockdown will save only one life, it's all worth it. If this lockdown that is causing a dramatic rise in suicides and domestic abuse and job loss like we've pretty much never seen before, if all of these side effects save just one life, it's worth it. We're talking about our grandparents and great-grandparents, generations that have lived through major wars and depressions. They have sacrificed to bring our parents and us into the world. And now all of a sudden we think they're going to be so selfish as to want to see millions of lives ruined just to possibly save one life from the coronavirus. The more I think about that, the more absurd it sounds. So clearly, this is a real problem. The way we treat the elderly, they have been stigmatized. They've been cast into a corner for decades now. Think about the TV shows you've seen that depict elderly people. Every time, it's just clowning the elderly for not knowing what the internet is or how to operate a computer, not being up to date with the latest slang terms, not being cool, as the children would put it. But now people say they care about the elderly. And that's what all of these government shutdowns are supposed to prove. What is God's solution for this problem? for the wrong way our elders are treated. It's important to know and to realize that God is love, and his law is love. The Ten Commandments, whether you just apply the letter of them or if you apply the spiritual intent, are all about love. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40 show that the Ten Commandments are all about loving God, loving members of his church more than yourself, and loving the entire world, and including all these people you've never met, just as much as yourself. It's all about outflowing love. Where is the love in these government actions today? Where is the love, the real love, not the hypocritical fake love, for our elderly today? Who is really trying to treat them right? God has a system in place that his people strive to follow. And this system really does take into account the well-being of everyone involved. The parents, the children, the grandparents. Everyone is cared for. Everyone is loved the way that God does it. And that's just because his law is love. If we get right down to the basics, there's a command in Exodus 20, verse 12, and it just tells us, honor your father and your mother. There's no expiration date on that command. It doesn't say, honor them as long as you live with them still, as a child. It doesn't say honor them unless you can think of a good reason not to, or if the government promises to take care of them for you. That's when you don't have to honor them anymore. No, that's not what the command says at all. When you look around and you see the way that society treats the elderly, could you really describe that treatment as honoring them, as honorable? This article, again from the 1985 Plain Truth, states, God's way is for the children to care for and assist their aged parents, who, in the meantime, should have provided for their own financial needs in their old age, so children would not have that burden. Then it quotes 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And also Proverbs 13, verse 22, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So you see here, it's not just telling the children to take care of their elderly parents or their grandparents and take on all of the cost of that. Ideally, grandparents would have already saved up for that eventuality. And so if they do end up living with their children when they're older and they can't take care of themselves as well, they can pay a little bit of that money to the children, and then the children are not hurt financially by taking on more people into their homes. So the children do what it takes to physically care for and help their parents, but the parents are the ones who are paying for that care. You see, the responsibility here for loving the elderly and respecting them and honoring them, taking care of them, falls on the children, on the younger generations of the family. It is not the government's job. Look at all the problems that result when man's government tries to step in. Now, just to be very clear, I'm not condoning disobeying the government in any way. In fact, the PCG has been exemplary when it comes to sticking with government regulations in all the various states and countries around the world. They have obeyed government orders. God's people have. They have even largely stuck with mere recommendations. Though not obligated to, much of the time we even do what the government recommends, much less commands. But the government often does it the wrong way. That's just the fact of the matter. Here's what this article continues. A recent example demonstrates this point. One family committed their slightly senile parent to an old age home. In order to avoid payment, the family members gave false names and addresses so they could not be traced. The parent, who gave them life, who cared for them, helped them when they were sick, supported them when they were young, is now left all alone. I have my own life to live, is the selfish attitude. That's the type of deplorable behavior that governments are basically condoning when they think they should step in and take the place of the family, take over the responsibilities of the family. It was never meant to be this way. God is sad to see this happen. He would never, ever enforce this kind of government. This is just a symptom of the age. 2 Timothy chapter 3 shows that in the last days, in these dangerous times, people would be disobedient to parents. You could say they would disrespect their parents, dishonor their parents, neglect their parents. What a shame that is. Well, Leviticus 19, verse 32 shows a really positive way to counteract the societal trend. Leviticus 19, verse 32, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Eternal. So that means standing when an elderly person enters the room. God's young people in the PCG have been taught to try to initiate conversation with their elders, to be the first ones to say hello, to be the ones to walk up to a group of their elders and join those conversations, and to do a lot more listening than they do talking in those conversations, to show respect for the wisdom and the experience of their elders, and especially for the elderly, those who have gray hair and white hair. Leviticus 19 shows that it's not meant to be a shameful thing when your hair changes color. The Bible describes that as a crown of glory. It's an honor to them. It's a distinguishment for them. And what if we all just treated the elderly this way? What if we all deeply valued the wisdom they have to share? In an article from January 2010 titled Practice the Art of Grandparenting, Mr. Alex Harrison quoted the saying, when an elderly person dies, a library burns down. He writes here, a grandparent is a bridge to another era. Family history can be relived in stories from granddad and grandma. Stories from the good old days, as we tend to say. My grandfather, before he died a few years ago, my father's father actually was able to write a short autobiography at the end of his life. And I've read that a couple times. It has some really incredible stories. He was once a taxi cab driver. He was a logger. I think he was even an amateur boxer, so he got in his fair share of fights. He was also picked on a lot because he was pretty small, and so he would stand up to him for himself numerous times throughout his life. And this, of course, was long before he ever came into God's church, not condoning that necessarily, but it is interesting to hear about these types of experiences. And then just to see the type of world they grew up in, where he would rise early and work hard all day on his parents' farm. That was a much more hardworking society, and it was a much more fulfilling life. They really are, grandparents really are, a bridge to another era. And we can all take the time in our lives to show appreciation for these people. Real appreciation. And of course, we know that the coronavirus does target the elderly mainly, and also those who are sick. God's way of life is to serve those kinds of people, to serve and help those who are struggling financially, those who are fatherless or widows. It's a give way of life. Everyone receives love. And when you receive love, you give it right back to somebody else. That's what this way of life is all about. Mr. Harrison writes here, young people need to be encouraged, even by their grandparents, where suitable, to seek grandparents' experience. It is a wise young person who takes advantage of his grandparents' knowledge. One of the privileges that comes with the role of a grandfather is being a wise and trusted counselor. In sharing yourself as a grandparent, you are giving your grandchildren your unique outlook on life, your ways, your memories, your skills and interests, and most of all, your love. It all gets back to love. There's love or there's hate. There's God's way or there's Satan's way. There's the tree of life or there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which you could also call the tree of death. There's two ways. One way is clearly on display to detrimental effect in this world, and another way is on display in God's church. It's called the abundant life. It's ultimately fulfilling when we love each other more than we love ourselves, when we serve, when we sacrifice, when we give of ourselves to other people. And of course, those people pretty much always seem to return the favor. It really is so uplifting. This is a way of life that everyone in the world would probably die for if they really understood how much of a blessing it is. To actually be happy, to actually have peace, to actually love and be loved, to know that hundreds and thousands of people care about you and you care about them too. That's God's way of life. That's God's family. Mr. Harrison says here, for today in God's church, many of us are grandparents to all the children within God's family. These children, these future grandparents also need to see and feel the faithfulness in you as you strive to be the best you can be. Many of us might not have physical grandparents, and yet we have plenty of people around us who are older than us, who care for us, and who want to share themselves with us. Oftentimes, all we have to do is make a phone call or reach out to them in some way, visit them, talk to them when we see them, and let them know we care. And respect them, get advice from them, and learn all that we can. What a horrible feeling it would be to live a long life and then at the end of your life to just be cast aside and neglected. That's the world's way of doing it. And then they pretend during this virus that they care again about the elderly all of a sudden. God's church has always cared about the elderly and about everybody. There's no favoritism going on. Every group of people, every individual matters to God, both inside and outside of his church. Every person in the world matters to God. And one day, the entire world will get to experience this way of love. They'll all get to understand how to truly care for the elderly. Thanks so much for listening today. We've been talking about the elderly, the right way to view them and treat them compared to and contrasted to this world. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.